welcome to the next episode of Strong, Badass, and Over 50, a podcast for women over 50 to talk about all the things that happen to us over 50.
Right.
We are creating a community in order to support each other, and we want all of you to be a part of it. And I am Donna, and I have a co-host, and her name is Randy.
Hello.
Today we are speaking with Katrina Horn. She is a TEDx speaker, self-love activist, and a life coach. But she is not just any kind of life coach. She's a special kind of life coach. She's a dream life designer. Katrina is passionate about how we can build the courage and belief in ourselves to follow our dreams. She started very young with the idea of leaving her home country, not city or state or street, but her home country, to pursue her dreams of studying the harp. This first experience of following her dreams led her to pursue many others. She now lives in the French Alps. You've just moved to the French Alps with her dream man, her dream work, and her dream house. She helps other women take charge of their own destiny for personal fulfillment and happiness. Welcome to the show, Katrina.
Well, thank you so much, Donna.
I just love this. I'm so excited to talk to you.
So am I, because I could use a dream life of my own.
Couldn't we all?
Yes, absolutely. So where are you originally from, Katrina?
I was born in the previous millennium in Denmark, which is in the north of Europe. Then later on, as Donna just mentioned, I emigrated to the UK.
To play harp.
Okay. Yes, I got this crazy dream when I was very, very little that I wanted to play the harp. And that was crazy because nobody else was where I lived. But my parents took me to see Swan Lake when I was four. And it was a dream. All those lovely ballerinas swirling around on the stage was just, of course, mesmerizing. And then when the harp came in the second act, I was just sold. I thought, that's for me. It was that deep sort of heartfelt connection. I just thought, I must have this. This is for me. And of course, at 4 years old, I didn't really do anything about it. Nor did my parents for a long time. But as I kept insisting, I finally got to learn to play the harp a little bit. But I thought, this won't do. I want more. I want so much more. So let me just pop over to the UK and go to music college. And of course, everybody told me, you can't just do that. Don't be daft. I said, well, maybe I can't, but I certainly am going to try. And so I tried and I auditioned and I got in. Wow. So I thought, where's the problem?
That's incredible.
And it sort of set me off for the rest of my life because obviously now when people tell me you can't just do that, you know what I think.
Of course I can.
You should sit back in your comfortable little place and watch me do all the big, amazing things that I'm going to do. That's what you're
right.
I love that. So you call yourself a dream life designer, which you have to tell us more about that. That is just so interesting to me.
Yeah, because so many of us put a lid on it, don't we? Like we go into that comfortable self-sacrificing thing that we do as women, where we find that it's so much easier to find self-value when we sacrifice for our children, our bosses, our whatever. And that's sort of an easy go-to self-worthiness thing. If we have to create it through our own desires, then it gets to be a lot harder, I think, because, well, if I can just go and do what I want, I mean, what do I do? And what do I want? Right? We have to answer those questions first. If we don't just live by default, meaning that if we don't just stay in the mold of where we were born, where we went to school, what our parents did and all of that, if we want to break free of that mold, then we have to make a lot of decisions and then we have to feel the fear, I think. And I think it's really that fear that holds us back.
That's interesting.
I agree.
So let's go back from you become a harp player in the UK. How do you go from that to this dream life designer coach that you are now? Like, what was the journey that took you there?
Great question. I'll try to be brief. But when I left Denmark, it was really because I was suffering in Denmark. So the fear of having to suffer even more sort of pushed me over to the UK across the ocean, right? But when I was in London, I graduated, I played the harp in the West End, and everything was so wonderfully cushy, right? There's plenty of work, interesting work, nice salary, lovely people. There's nothing wrong. Except I was 26 and I thought, am I going to do this till I keel over and die? Or is there more to life? And I wanted to take a bet that there was more to life. And so I thought, well, what would I really like? I want to go over and see what's happening in Paris. And of course, again, people told me, you can't just move to Paris. You don't even speak French. But then I could. So I did. And then I sort of rinsed and repeat the whole experience. Went to music college, learned some more harp playing, worked some more as a musician. And then I got another crazy idea, which was I wanted to own one of those beautiful old houses in the south of France. And I wanted to do it up to look exactly like my dream house. But if you're a musician, then you can't just stay put in one place and play your harp every day to the same people. You have to move around. And I wasn't really willing to do that anymore. I wanted to settle down. And so I became a teacher. And that's really what you mentioned in my TEDx talk. And that's a little bit about that, how you put yourself or how people connect to you through who they perceive you are. So when you are a musician traveling around playing solo concerts in all of Europe, people have one reaction to you. And when you tell them you're a school teacher, they have a totally different reaction to you, right?
Right.
It's just not very glamorous. But that was not the only thing I found out. I found out that actually being a school teacher, I could no longer be fake. And by that, I mean, on stage, I could be somebody else. I didn't have to be myself. So I could be charmingly fake, right? I'm not saying it was dreadful, but I could be something that I wasn't. I could make believe. But when you're in front of children, you either genuine or they sort of mess you up. So they really messed me up for a long time. And then I thought, let me try out this vulnerability piece, see what happens. And you know what? When you connect with people on that genuine, from that genuine place, I think that most people are totally willing to connect with you. And that really changed my life. Those kiddos taught me so, so much. I don't think I taught them anything. But I had my whole life transformed. And that's when I became a life coach, because I saw a lot of suffering. And I thought, oh, let me just give all those kids a lot of self-confidence so that they can go through life living their dream lives. But then I'd send them back home. And as their parents weren't particularly happy, well, they would pull them down. So I thought, if we could just make the parents happy, then they could have happy children. And wouldn't the world be a much better place to live in?
Absolutely. So, yeah. That's really smart. It really is.
What grade were you teaching?
I was teaching in middle school most of the time.
Okay. And where was this? In Paris? Or
no, that was in the south of France, in rural France.
Oh, okay. Wow. So your French at that point was good enough for you to be a teacher.
Goodness, yes, because I had to go to university and get a degree. And, you know, I don't do things by half. So I had to study for an awful lot of time and do an awful lot of dissertations in French. And so, yeah, with time, my French came to be okay.
I bet.
Nice.
So now how long have you been a life coach?
I started in 2003.
Okay.
And I started my own business in 2015. And before that, I used to coach in a business school and in an aeronautical engineering school where we trained astronauts, pilots, and all those kinds of fascinating people.
That sounds so interesting.
I know.
Good for you.
That is, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of blown away. So you work with women, right, specifically, and do you find that a lot of women over 50 are looking for your services just because they're kind of lost and in a change of life and not really understanding what they're, or not knowing what their next step is, and kind of, you know, I think we get a little bit lost at this age.
I think we do, because many of us have children and we do a fantastic job of bringing up our children, but then they leave, don't they? Mm-hmm. Fortunately. And then we're sitting here, we might be working, but sort of our whole purpose has been messed up.
Yes.
So I think we need to get a new purpose. And really what many women believe they want is just, oh, I just want to rest, right? I just want time. I just want space. Oh, just leave me alone. But really, if you've been 3 months at the poolside with your gin and tonic, then that is really enough. And then what do you want to do with your life?
Right.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with resting. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. But we need something to get us up in the morning, something that we can feel really fired up about, if you see what I mean. Something that, you know, we want to do. We could perhaps get paid to do, but whether we are paid or not, we still want to do it.
It's like having a purpose, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the dreams that you are helping people achieve?
Well, anything really, from starting your own business to moving up on the career ladder, leaving your job, finding new love in your life, emigrating to a different country, building your forever home, all of those things, really. And I believe it all starts with self-love. And I think we as women, we find it very, very difficult to take our desires seriously.
Yeah.
Because we don't really love ourselves unconditionally. Especially when we start piling on the pounds, or our hair goes gray or something dreadful like that, then we find it very, very difficult to have that compassion for ourselves that we are so ready and willing to have for other people.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that is so true. I think women beat themselves up mercilessly and never treat themselves with the grace that they treat everybody else with. I know that that has been, you know, my experience, my friend's experience. I think we are our own worst critics for sure.
Yep.
Now you're pretty passionate about what you do from what Donna has told me and from what you've said. And so if you need like to build the courage to believe in yourself, to follow your dream, what's the mindset that we need to have in order to do that? Other than, I mean, obviously self-love is kind of the foundation, but what else is part of that? What else do you need to have? The tools in your toolkit, so to speak.
We have to be willing to feel our emotions. Mm-hmm. And if we undertake something big, then we have to be willing to feel the fear. And I'm not so much for feeling the fear and pushing through. I'm sort of very much in favor of feeling the fear and processing it, and then make a choice, really, not from that emotional sort of fearful place, but from once we've processed that emotion and we are in a good place, good feeling place. I mean, we should never make any decisions from any other place than when we feel good. Like people who want to get divorced, they want to get divorced when they're arguing, when they're feeling bad, and they go ahead and they ask for divorce, right? Let's just wait till you're feeling good when everything is going okay. Then what choice would you make, right? Let's not make an important choice based on a temporary emotion is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to be willing to feel our emotions, go past them, and by that I mean processing them, and then make an informed choice.
I like that. Mm. An informed choice. And right. Feel the emotions.
Right, taking the emotional impulsivity out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, please understand, that emotions are wrong. right?
Right.
Let's just not make any decisions based on them.
Right. I get that. I like that. Because we usually do make decisions based on emotion. I mean, that's where we, you know, 99% of the time come from an emotional seat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You're so right, which is perfect when it's love. But when it's something right. different, then it can really backfire.
Yes, yes, yes. Would you like to leave our listeners with a tip or two on how to be courageous enough to pursue their dreams?
Yes. So again, first of all, feel your emotions and then stop making yourself wrong. People will always tell you, you can't do that, or this is not a good idea. And you don't really need to listen to them. You can be compassionate for them when they tell you this is not possible or you should not be doing that.
Right.
It's just that they don't see how they could do it.
Yep.
And they want to protect you, because what happens when we start to step out of our mold, like our default life, is that it can be really, really scary and we might get hurt. And I'm not saying we won't get hurt, but if we can build up the resilience so that we can live through the hurt, then there's really nothing we can't do.
Right. It's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've given me so much to think about. Yeah. I'm kind of like, so when you coach people, is it like an ongoing thing, like where they see you for a certain period of time, or is it something that's ongoing indefinitely? Like, how does that work?
No, when people come to me, they have a free consultation so that I can see if I can help them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can help them, I will then suggest what we do. But it's always that I help them towards their goal. So if their goal is to leave their job and buy a new house, then that will be what we will go after. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I will estimate the time it will take us, and then the client will commit to that goal, not to me, but to themselves.
Right,
say,
right.
I am not going to stop till I have got left my job and got my new home. Right. This is what I want. And I am fully committed. And that's why I need to talk to people. So, because if we're not really fully committed, if it's just like, oh yeah, I kind of like that, well, then we're not going to get there. So we need to sort of be willing to go all in. And we've got a saying, I don't know in the States, but we say over here in Europe, don't get your hopes up, meaning don't expect too much, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not how coaching works. We do get our hopes up, knowing that if there are dashed, if our hopes turn to nothing, then we've got ourselves, right? We've built up that resilience so that in the face of what we see as failure, if we can just reframe that as telling ourselves, oh, this is one way, it's not working, let me try another one, then we are sure to get there.
Right.
And can I just say that there's nothing like a coach to get you to where it is you want to be, right?
So
if you're willing to go sort of all in on yourself, if you're willing to commit to your goal, I like to call it a dream because a goal feels a little bit harsh to me, but whatever you want to call it, your objective, your outcome, if you're willing to commit to that, just know nothing will ever stop you.
Right. Love it.
I do too.
Yes.
You know, you said before something about people want to protect you, and I think that's true. But I also think people get envious and resentful when you dream big, because
Absolutely.
They're not dreaming big for themselves, or they're afraid to.
They're afraid.
And they resent it in someone else. I mean, I think that's a very common human instinct. So I'm really hearing what you're saying and kind of reframing how I think about this.
But if you know that somebody's envious of you, you can just switch that around and tell yourself they are inspired by me.
Mm.
Because I think inspiration is the same as envy, except inspiration, people believe they can have the same. And envy, they believe that they can't have it because you've got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had that blatant negativity when I was starting the skincare company. How could you start a skincare company? What do you know? It's so much work. This is actually from somebody who was supposed to love me very much.
And I, but this person did love you, Donna.
She did love. No, no, no. She does love me. But I had to just tell, she's somebody who is very negative, and I had to tell her that her negativity, we could not have a negative conversation. And it, I'm sorry she felt that way. This is for me. And if she can't support me, then we can't have the conversation.
Right.
I do agree. She does love me, but she's just somebody who's very negative and kind of like will dump it in your face. So that's on her, not on me.
But it sounds like Katrina's, the way Katrina's speaking with us today is like, we have to rise above all of that noise and just say, this is what I'm going to do. And nobody's getting in the way. Which I love.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that.
I love that.
Beautiful summing up. Yeah. Just listen to all that, because there will always be wet blankets, right?
Yes, yes.
There always will be negative people.
Yes.
But if they're negative, it says so much more about them than about our dreams.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Their negativity has nothing to do with us.
Correct.
It's that's their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you, Katrina?
They can hop over to my website, which is katrinahorne.com, katrinehorn.com, and either request a free consultation, or if they go there soon, they can start a self-love affair with me, which is 12-day tips and tools for falling in love with yourself unconditionally. So as Randy said, this is the basics, right? But I'd love to speak to anybody who's been inspired by what we've been talking about, and anybody who's thinking, oh, I wonder where I could bring it to. I wonder what I would want. Please come for consultation, because I can show you.
Cool.
I think you'll be hearing from me.
Can't wait, Randy.
No, really. It's so, so cool. And thank you so much, Katrina, for being with us. Such an inspiring conversation. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. This is a podcast about supporting women over 50. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation, or you have something that you'd like to share, or a topic that you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us at strongbadassandover50@gmail.com. And we are sponsored by Donna J. Wellness, personalized coaching programs created for you based on your challenges and your goals. Sign up for a free consultation today at www.donnajwellness.com. And we are out from the swamps of Jersey.
Later.